Good evening, everyone. So I assume everyone's seen the Transformers movie. No? Or you know what Transformers is. You know, robots, cars, and stuff. I found a bit of an analogy, you know, regarding that. Now they're going towards somewhere. They're cars, and they're speeding towards there. As they get there, they're prepared for battle. They transform. And they transform. But they still got the same purpose. They're just being transformed for that purpose. Yeah. Right, and that's done. So in the same way, I think we, as we go for our Christian walk, we go through the same process. We go through a process of transformation, but we're coming better equipped for the whole, for our purpose, to bring glory to God. So I'll go back a bit. And I'll go, so when we were originally saved, we were initially transformed. And when we look at scripture, like 1 Peter 1 verse 23, it says, "For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God." And 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here." And again, in Ephesians 4, verse 22 to 24, "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitudes of your mind, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." So when we were saved, we were changed into a new creation. We were born again, and our purpose was changed. We no longer were living for our flesh, but for God. And following that, we in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18, "And we all, with unveiled faces, contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." So we become more like him every day, always changing, being transformed. And in Ephesians 2, verse 10, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." And by following Romans 12, verse 1, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." Ephesians 5, verse 1 to 2, "Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." So we give up everything that we are, and we live for God. We do everything for God and to bring glory to his name, to live for him, making our lives a living sacrifice to God. And we cast, in Psalm 55 verse 22, we cast our cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. 1 Peter 5, 7. "Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you." And 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13. "No temptation has overtaken you what is common to mankind, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so you can endure it." So from this, we can turn all our worries and our problems over to God. We can put our trust in him and faith. He won't allow us to go for anything beyond what we can bear. He will provide for us. And Robin and Lett visiting, and I see it in my parents as well. We see great examples of these scriptures being lived out, where they go through these challenges. I mean, I would struggle to go through these things. I think it would bring me to my knees. And I mean, that's probably part of it, to be on your knees every morning and to find your faith, establish yourself in God. I mean, they are unshaken in their faith, and they know that God will provide. He has done so before, so why wouldn't he again? So, you know, as we turn our worries and problems over to God, we live for his will and we are transformed and we are able to work out and exercise our gifting. From that, in Romans 12, verse 4 to 8, "For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, through many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. And 1 Peter 4, verse 10 to 11. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others, as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. And now you are the body of Christ, and each of you is part of it. There are no useless gifts. You know, each one of us has been given a gift, and it doesn't go away. These gifts have been given by the Spirit, and each has a commonality of the Spirit. Each gift is important and is vital to the church. And a long verse, but 1 Peter 12, verse 12 to 26. Just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its parts form one body, so it is with Christ, for we all baptized one Spirit as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slaves or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. And so the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of a body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of a body. If a whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If a whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I do not need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I do not need you. On the contrary, those parts of a body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that looked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part is rejoices with it. This is what I find amazing about the church community. It's a vital part of a Christian walk, to be part of a community, to work together, and we can exercise our gifts within the church. We exercise our gifts, and we find people who are further along in the gifts, so they're more experienced in the gifts. Like if someone's got a power of healing, or they've got powers of prophecy, they have experience in it, they know how it works. So you might have been spoken about over saying, you've got the gift of prophecy. You go to that person and you go, can you help me? These are the things I've been hearing. And they can walk alongside you. You can prophesy of them. We can go to our elders and we go, I've been hearing this. Is this according to God's will? Is this what you've been hearing? Is this in line with God's character? And as with each of us, when we serve, we have to serve wholeheartedly. And we go through that, through the community, through our church. And from the church, we can go out into the community. We can practice our gifting. We can go to places like Thailand. And we can be more in touch with God. We can just work out our gifts day by day, exercising them, getting stronger. Just like a muscle. If you do not work out, you will become squishy. And yeah, and you have to look after yourself as with your body and all your gifting. And yeah, amen. Amen. Woo. And now Jacob will elaborate more. Preach it, brother.
Sorry. Luckily today it's not just myself preaching, but I've got Sharon who is willing to interpret. Shall we give him an example? So let's say I was to say, God loves you.
God loves you very much.
That's a lot better than what we practiced before. I'm very proud. And then we've got Sean at the back with my, if nobody decides to laugh at my jokes, he's said that he will give me a lovely awkward laugh after that. And then we've even got Paul at the back there who said he will disagree if he doesn't agree with anything that I say, and he will let me firmly know when my time is up. So thank you, Paul. I'd just like to say just before I start, what a privilege it is to be able to share alongside my brother. He has set the standard quite high, but luckily I came prepared with a slightly bigger Bible. Good try, Barry. Good try. So today what I'd like to share about, without taking anything away from what Barry shared, is the renewal of a prehistoric mind. So our minds, as intellectual and as beautiful as it is, and as creatively it is made, can be quite stubborn and limiting at times, I'm sure we're all aware. And I myself have been guilty of this. But in Romans, turn with me to Romans 12, verse 1 to 2. So I believe where Christ tells us to offer up our bodies as living sacrifice. For me, what I see the most important thing is, and I'm sure you'll find it's the same, is to offer our minds up as a living sacrifice. Our minds, as I said, as well as it is made, can be quite, restraining or constraining, holding us back from the fullness of what Christ wants to do in our life. So therefore, God calls us in Romans 12, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So our mind is unfortunately limited by things such as our past experiences, our preconceived ideas, our understanding, and boxes. So our preconceived ideas, how we expect things to happen, our past experiences, how we've seen things happen before, our understanding, how we perceive things, why things happen or how things happen, and then boxes, what we anticipate would happen in a result. So in effect, boxing in the likely circumstances or likely outcomes of what could happen. So when Christ is doing works in our lives, a lot of the times, or we'll find most of the times, that he works outside the constraints of our thinking. So we believe something might happen a certain way, but of course Christ has many different ideas and he wants something to happen this way or that way. And in his creativity, we often see that it's not the same way that things do turn out. So our past experiences shape our preconceived ideas. Our preconceived ideas, our past experiences, our ability and desire to understand, and our past experiences, preconceived ideas, and understanding constructing our boxes. And once we have our boxes, we hesitate to look beyond them. So the point I'm trying to make is, how do we expect Christ to have free reign in our lives, whether it is spirit-led transformation or outward obedience, if he is limited in our expectations to only work within the constraints of our thinking? How much better if we rather trust in the Lord and lean not on our own understanding, and instead in all our ways acknowledge him and he will make our path straight. Proverbs 3 verse 5 to 6. As Christ begins our transformation, he moves us from a mind that perceives as the world does to one that perceives as the Spirit does. We begin to see things in a new light, his light. The prehistoric or the old way of thinking is set aside as Christ begins us to see how he sees things. And how bad of us to, as they always say, if you do the same things, you can expect the same results. May that be far from us to expect that by allowing Christ to come into our lives and allowing Christ to bring the transformation, that we can expect the same results. Instead, we begin to walk into, as Barry was saying, the calling that Christ is on our lives, the gifting that he has placed on our lives, and what he has, into the fullness of what he has for us. So instead, it becomes a form of trust exercise. We let go of our own thinking, of our own constraints, of our own preconceived ideas of how things might turn out. So we might think, Christ must be doing... Of course, Christ will show us, but we might think ahead and be like, I'm sure Christ would want to, let's say, change the way that I look at finances, but the way that I watch TV all day, yeah, I don't think Christ really minds that. I'm sure it's fine. And from our past experiences, we might say, before Christ has worked in, let's say, those finances again, how could we expect him to work in different areas of our lives? And in our understanding, we might think, this is easy for me to understand, that Christ might work in the finances, but the things that I struggle to understand, where Christ is doing something in my life where I can't see the end result, I can't see exactly where that's going, I'd rather not stray there. So, what a beautiful place to be at, where there's such renewal in our hearts and minds, that our own desires exactly lined up with what Christ desires. So where in our every single day, in the small decisions and the big decisions, the decisions that we make is in line with what Christ wants us to make. So instead of being led by our worldly desires, by our feelings, by our emotions, what we might think, instead of letting that affect our decisions and our choices, how amazing would it be if Christ is the one who affects every single little aspect of our decisions and everything that we might want or we might desire, Christ is right there giving that to us. For those who live in accordance with the sinful nature have a mindset on what the sinful nature desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have a mindset on what the Spirit desires. The mind of a sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. I believe when transformation comes, there's a massive renewing of a mind. The mind is where it, I think, is the most restricting part, where we say, it affects our decisions, whether they be small decisions or big decisions, in our every single day. And that is a part where Christ wants to bring the change. Transformation isn't just, as we've seen, a once-off thing. Like one night we might go to sleep and the next day we say, whoa, I'm transformed. As beautiful and as easy as it might be, transformation is unfortunately not as easy as that, as I've seen from my own experiences. But instead, transformation is definitely a process. So it not only takes place in the larger picture of where Christ wants to take us, but in the small picture. So the small changes, the small decisions, and the big decisions. So when we meet with someone in the day, what we say, how we act, how we behave, how we respond to what they say, or whether it's a big picture of where does God want us to move? Does God want us to move houses? Does he want us to move countries? In those little decisions and the big ones, transformation comes. And then turn with me to, here we've got a list, Colossians 3, verse 1 to 17. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and grief and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs of gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And then again, we also see in Ephesians 4, verse 20 to 24. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you have heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which has been corrupted by deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. We see from both these scriptures that in the transformation, Christ wants to bring us into Christ-likeness. When we step into Christ-likeness, as Barry said, we're better equipped for the purpose that God has called us for. Our purpose doesn't change, although we might think it's different, although we might wake up for different reasons in the morning, but Christ has that same purpose of our lives, and we become better equipped for what he has planned ahead for us. For as Ephesians 2 verse 20 says, that Christ has prepared the handiworks in advance for us to do. It is not us in our own power that has prepared what Christ wants us to do in ahead, but it is Christ himself that has prepared it in advance. So as we begin to step into Christ-likeness, he begins to lead us in the things that he has prepared in advance for us to do. And we don't think in our own thinking that we know the exact right way, that we are the all-knowing people, but instead that knowing that Christ is an all-knowing person, we follow him and we trust him and step into that trust exercise. Cool. Thank you. We thank you, Lord, for transformation. We know it's not the easiest thing in the world, and it does take some time, and in its beautiful process, it can be quite troublesome and it can be quite tough. But we know that you have called us to something higher, for something greater that's beyond our own thinking, for something that we don't understand, that with our preconceived ideas, we can't comprehend. From our past experiences, we can't see, Lord, and from our boxes, we might limit, Lord. Well, we know that you have called us to something greater that's beyond ourselves, Lord. So we pray as you begin to bring transformation in our lives that you have already started, I pray that we may be aware of that and see where you're leading us, Lord God, that you might fill us with wisdom and that we might follow you and trust in you in every single aspect, Lord, in the small decisions, the big decisions, at home, in the workplace, or where we study, Lord. We pray that in the transformation we might be aware of your works and your beauty, Lord, and give you all the glory, Lord God, constantly being thankful for the work that you are doing in our lives. I pray that you may better equip us for the work that you have prepared in advance for us to do, and that we may walk into that with full trust and full faithfulness, Lord. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for transformation, Lord God. Thank you for that we're always changing, always becoming more like you, Lord God. Thank you for all the people, the community around us, a community that we can walk through with a transformation. Thank you for equipping, becoming more like you, working out our gifting. Thank you for the gifting that you've given us, for the opportunities to be able to go out and preach your word, Lord God. Tell people about you, Lord God. Thank you for that. Thank you that you will never give us something that's too hard, outside of our skill set, outside of our abilities to handle and to do, Lord God. Thank you that even if there's things like that, that you will give us supernaturally the power. And if we cannot do it for our strength, Lord God, we can do it for your strength. Thank you, God. Thank you for that. Amen.